Hey, Thriving Launchers, want to learn how to use improv to make your life better and also to increase productivity, creativity at work, and also have better relationships? Trust me, improv can make your life better. And on today's episode, that's what we're going to talk about. Welcome to Thriving Launch with Luis Congdon and Kamala Chambers, the show for heart-centered entrepreneurs who want it all. Do you have a product or service that you would like to sell online? Or maybe you've been thinking about it, but you're reserved to do it because you need a website, you need complicated systems, and you need to spend money? Well, I've created a completely free course that teaches you how to use Facebook in a purely organic way. This means no ads and no money are needed. You can use Facebook completely free. So head on over to thrivinglaunch.com. Hopped into my Profit from Social Media course. I'm going to teach you the free methods to using Facebook to make money today.
Bob Coolham, he helps businesses thrive through improv, and he's an author.
All right, Thriving Launchers, I promise this isn't an improv interview. We've talked already. Bob, are you ready to launch?
I am ready to launch.
So, hey, you've got this new book out, and what's really fascinating for me is that you're bringing this idea, or to me it's really new and it's really cool and insightful, of how we can use improv in business and management. And you even got some great testimonials from some very well-known authors on management. So I'm curious, what made you want to bring improv over into the business world?
I have an undergrad degree in business, and appropriately enough, it's a BS in business. And I was actually very successful as a young businessman and stepped away from it to start learning improvisation, and became a quote-unquote professional improviser pretty early on. And while I was going through it, I started supplementing my income by teaching corporate improv workshops to various organizations. And in doing so, at that time in the mid to late 90s, it was a pretty shallow field, pretty vacuous, as a matter of fact, with not a lot of strong links to business. And as part of my passion was business in my early 20s, and it became improvisation, I started making these very strong connections that improvisation is inherently a great tool for business people to use for a variety of different means. And that led me to the Duke University Fuqua School of Business and ultimately partnering with a lot of the world's top behavioral psychologists and cognitive psychologists and even behavioral economists.
Let's talk about improv and how it actually helps our lives. I know that I used to do improv performances. I used to be in an improv troupe for a couple of years. And something I love, and I'd love to hear from you, how you feel improv can help our lives.
Well, as you know, improv takes place in the moment. You have to live in the moment, be present at a very high level, simply to react and adapt and communicate, which means that you're connecting with people and you're engaging with people in this communication-based art form. So right away, you are witnessing very strong elements of how improvisation fits in a day-to-day life, let alone in business or in any other field. You have to be present. You have to be able to connect with people. You have to be able to engage people. You have to be adaptable and nimble and flexible.
No, I really love that. And in business, we really need to have that. So what are some of the shifts that you've noticed in business and the way that people are cooperating when they, and they have to cooperate together in a business setting in an environment where you maybe need to show up and dress a certain way and you have certain protocols, or, you know, you've got the 9 to 5 or even longer schedules. Like, you're working with a lot of people. You've got to improv a lot. It's easy to get overwhelmed. I'm curious, how has improv, in your experience, helped people navigate the world of working together?
It's helped because as a communication-based art form, we have to focus on each other in improvisation. And that's the same in business, regardless of what field you're in. Unless you are truly operating in some kind of cave somewhere in which you don't have to physically interact with anyone, Otherwise, you have to make eye contact with people. You have to talk with people. You have to make sense of ambiguous data. You have to be able to turn somewhat challenging messages into palatable and sticky messages ultimately. So regardless of what siloed industry you think or we think we might be in, we still have to be able to talk with people and communicate with people. And improvisation is a great art form for breaking down the barriers to communication, whether they're fear or distance or lack of a common language. It helps everyone understand that we all need to connect with each other and communicate with each other, especially in this rapidly changing, volatile world in which we live right now.
I want to get into how we can do improv. Now, there's a lot of different improv techniques and things like that. How do you recommend that we all start to apply improv into our daily lives?
The cornerstone of improv, as you know, is yes and. And that, I think, is one of the most commonly associated phrases with improvisation, and it's a multi-tool technique that you can employ at any given time. So you can yes and yourself, for example, to solve a tricky problem or deal with a challenging client. You can use it to postpone judgment on an individual basis for communicating with people, accepting ideas, dealing with conflict, as well as writing a proposal. You can use yes and as an interpersonal skill, as just touched upon, to communicate with people, to build a joint problem-solving solution or collaborate. You can use it then as a team skill as well for collaboration and adaptive problem solving. And ultimately, yes and as a lifeline or scarlet thread could be a major part of a corporate culture in which we are separating yes and from yes but, in that but eliminates everything said before it and inherently undermines or potentially undermines a relationship or message. Yes and feels like that building collaborative forward movement technique that draws people into an inclusive environment.
Yes, and I find that this is something that's just so powerful to say yes to life more. It's such a really powerful practice to be a more open person to opportunities as well.
Yes. You know, Keith Johnstone, the European version of Del Close, wrote a book a long time ago called Impro. And in it, there's a chapter called Spontaneity. And in this chapter, he says, if you put a child in a backyard with a bunch of sticks and nothing else, you say, go play. The child's going to do what with those sticks? Pick them up, make swords, throw them, make baseball bats, play endlessly. You put an adult in the backyard with a bunch of sticks and nothing else, you say, just go occupy your time. What does the adult do? Typically starts picking up the sticks or arranging them in some orderly fashion. So we get trained over time to be critical and not be collaborative, not be creative, not postpone judgment. And it's so important to go back to some basic skills that we've developed over time and allow ourselves that freedom to communicate without fear, to collaborate, and to postpone judgment, at least for specific strategic periods of time.
What I really love, you know, it was kind of interesting how you're talking about being creative, and then you said strategic, and I was like, wait, I was getting into this creative space just listening to you. But what really came up for me is this study that I read some time ago that talked about a child's creativity when they're like 1, 2, 3 years old, and then how as they move on through the ages, it just dwindles dramatically. And then even the neurons that are firing in the brain that are related to creativity dwindle immensely. I think it'd be really interesting to take your work, for example, and the work of improv or art, things where people kind of have to get out of this kind of linear thinking and seeing what that does to the brain.
I would put my money on it would change the brain. It would allow those synapses to be stimulated in different ways because, of course, over time, as we just touched upon, we get trained to behave differently. As children, we don't have a whole lot of structure. Even before school or once we get into school, there is some structure. And that starts you have to sit in the right chair, you have to sit, you have to dress the right way, you have to use this type of language, you have to study this specific thing. So we start organizing our brain. And then, of course, over time, especially as we move into our jobs and then ultimately leadership positions, we get paid to be critical. So we are looking to be critical almost as a default and move into that space very quickly. And we need to, as you just mentioned, really work that part of our brain out like it's a muscle and get it back in shape again, because like any other muscle, it's atrophied. And when you work it out again, it might get a little sore. We might have to stretch out a little extra longer once we start working out. Yet once it gets in shape, it's going to operate at a different level than others who do not work it out.
One thing that I really love about improv is that you get to step into these situations where you allow yourself to be embarrassed or go out on a complete limb. I remember doing a performance in a yes and situation, and my co-performers put me in some very awkward positions, but I had to keep saying yes to it. And that willingness to just be embarrassed in the moment and to go with the flow, it really stretches us to keep going out on a limb in our daily lives too, when we step into those roles.
Absolutely. You play like you practice. And in that specific scenario, you're talking about that safe environment that we've touched upon before. You have a team, a group of people who have all agreed to the same philosophy, the same language. If it's in a performance setting, it's actually in a venue that allows for this type of stretch to take place. And with that postponement of judgment comes an inhibition loosening or even shedding agent that you commit to each other, you commit to the process, you commit to the team, you commit to the language, the culture, the environment itself, and it allows yourself to come out of whatever inhibited state you've been in. Now, in business, of course, it's a little trickier to put that into place, which is why, Lewis, as you mentioned before, that word strategy is important. You have to create this strategic period of time, this block, just like you would a performance or rehearsal if you were going to go down the theatrical or comedic road of improvisation. You have to do it in business as well to say, for this period of time, we need to shed our inhibitions. We need to push the boundaries a little bit. We need to take whatever fears or doubts or even embarrassment potentially that we might have and put it to the side so that we can be truly innovative and creative and exploratory.
Before we go, what is one thing that the Thriving Launchers could go out and do right now to start applying some of what you're talking about?
Literally, use yes and. Use it with everyone. Use it with your significant others. Use it with your children, especially instead of yes but or no but. There is a huge trigger that goes off in the minds of the extreme majority of people around the world, by the way. I'm not talking just about with English-speaking individuals. It translates to so many different languages and so many global cultures, but triggers negative emotions. And it might be something that cognitively we understand. It might be something that subconsciously we start getting, that it rings to our heart or it rings to our guts, that we don't like talking with people who are constantly yes-butting us, or it puts us into a space in which we are reactionary and emotional in a negative way. So you can immediately start replacing the word but with the word and start yes-anding everyone. And I would argue vehemently that almost anything you say but toward, you can actually replace and say and toward. And the yes and, again, with everyone across the board, can be used to engender these positive, inclusive, flowing types of not only moments, relationships. And so I started at home with family, with spouses, significant others, children. You can bridge that off to wait staff, flight attendants who are having bad days and getting grief from everybody else, your coworkers. You can use this with anyone, anywhere, any place, anytime, and engender positive feelings in others as well as positive outcomes overall. So I would say just keep it simple and just literally start yes-anding yourself and others.
All right, Luis, next time I ask you to take out the garbage, instead of saying no, you get to say yes and.
Yes, and you can do it. No, I'm kidding. Thriving Launchers is a great note to end on. It's been great having Bob here to talk about improv and bringing improv to your relationships, to your home, to your business and to your creativity. I hope you got something, Thriving Launchers, and until next time, keep thriving, y'all.
You've been listening to the Thriving Launch Podcast. For books and resources related to today's episode, make sure to head over to thrivinglaunch.com. We'll see you there.
On the next episode, we're going to talk about building your audience, and make sure to subscribe to the show.